Hello, and thank you for listening to episode 17 of 60 Minutes With. I'm Dave.
I'm Ramrod.
And have we got stories to tell you this episode? If you follow us on our social media, Facebook or Twitter, you may well already be aware that we've been on a ghost hunt. And again, if you listen to 80s Picture House, you'll know my history of the place where we went, which is the Tivoli in Buckley in North Wales. So, Ramrod, it was last night, wasn't it? We went to the TIV. We were kindly invited there to take part in the first run of their in-house ghost hunts. And, well, first of all, we live to tell the tale.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Just as soon as we've started talking now and it's come back into my head, I've got like a pooey belly, like a nervous belly sort of thing, because I'm going to talk about it. But, yeah, it was like the plot of a very bizarre B-movie where... We're kind of the guinea pigs for this beautiful thing that the TIV are putting on to open up to the public. You know, this notoriously haunted and very beautiful building.
Because there's a hell of a lot of history to it, isn't there, when you look into it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, this place has been, like, gone through no end of times, most haunted mediums across the country and across the world, as I believe. The TIV is... really haunted, so they picked us to go and be the guinea pigs, didn't they?
They did, and I'm sure you won't mind me saying, mate, that you were quite hesitant to begin with when I put the idea to you about going there.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know me very well. I mean, horror and ghosts and stuff, my bread and butter. I do like to be scared, but in a controlled way, where it's just on a plasma screen in front of me, and I can go to the toilet when I need to. Putting me in a situation where... I may become possessed or sexually assaulted by ghosts. It did fill me with a little bit of apprehension, I'll be honest with you, because it's not what I'd consider to be the first thing I'd do for fun on a Friday night. you know, I mean, you can't quantify what we went through. You know, to what I expected.
Yeah, I mean, this is something, isn't it? And we'll get into this, how your expectations of the event were totally flipped, really, by the end of the night. And you, without sounding too dramatic, you came out the other end like sort of a new man in one way, didn't you, with the way that you regard things like this and through the experiences that you went through last night.
Definitely. I mean, you're Mr. Open Mind, aren't you?
Well, I think this is where we complement each other because, and again, say if, as a weird example, say a spaceship landed in the field outside, I would be the first one to like run at it and go, I want to see inside it.
Yeah, and I'd be the first one to call in an airstrike.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, you're always afraid of what you don't know. And I am fascinated by the prospect of the other side. You know, I'm a man of science and I believe in, you know, dimensions. I mean, that's quite deep, I suppose, isn't it? But yeah, maybe there is some other dimension. Obviously, we're electrical beings. So my belief is, where does that electricity dissipate to once, you know, our lights go out? It's still there. You turn off the light, the electricity's still flowing through the system. So that's my kind of thinking of it, is maybe there is some imprint, I think is the most popular maybe term used by people that want to believe, is like there's an imprint left behind there. And but I was shitting myself as well, because, you know, I've seen the entity how many times, and, you know, she gets felt up and, you know, had in the shower by a ghost. And I just thought that it would be my... because I got bad luck. You know, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And I knew going into this night, I thought, I bet something like froze me through a window or something like that. I just know something's going to happen. Luckily, it didn't, because we're here.
Yeah.
And it, you know, don't worry, anybody that's listening, you won't get thrown through a window or sexually abused by a ghost.
Although if you're there still, Ramrod, the... Those two criteria may well change.
Indeed.
Yeah. We should say as well, originally the plan was we were going to record it all live on the night. I mean, I took some recording equipment and we were going to do it all there. As things transpired, we were having such a good time and we were so invested in everything that was going on. We just did two very short recordings, hence why we're recording now the morning after to tell all the stories. So I think what we should do, mate, I mean, we've set off there, let's set the scene.
Okay.
We get to the Tivoli, and one of the first things that happens, and we've touched on it already, is you nip to the toilet.
Yeah, well.
Supposedly for a wee. Now, of course, I'm not going to miss the opportunity to do a bit of recording, so I think now's a good time. We'll cut to the first bit of audio that we got from on the night,
Brilliant.
and yeah, of me creeping into the toilets while you're in there. Again, a usual Friday night for us, really. Okay, we're in the Tivoli, and Ramrod's just gone to the toilet. He said he was going for a wee, but I have a feeling that he's going to have a poo, and I'm entering the toilet now. Ramrod, are you really having a wee, or are you pooing? You seem to be in one of the stalls. I think it may well be a poo. I'm going to bang the door. Oh my God, what's that on the ceiling above you? Okay, then, fair enough. So the listeners have just heard that, mate, and you were in a stall, and swearing blind, it was just a wee and no sort of poo activity was going on, that you were a little bit scared, Is it time to fess up? Was there
All
sort
right, mate. All right, I'll be honest with you, right? Seeing as it's all said and done now, I did go in there with the intention of knocking out a quick poo just before we went on the ghost hunt, because I thought if it hits me halfway around, I don't want to break the atmosphere, and especially if we're at a cut-off part of the building. I didn't know where we were going to be going. We could have been up on the bloody roof, and I'd have thought, if I need a bloody scared poo now, I've got to go all the way back through on my own. So I tried to knock one out, but then I heard your footstep, or footsteps, shall we just say. I only discovered it was yours after. So then it went quickly back up into my body, and it became a wee. So yeah, in all honesty, yeah, I was contemplating a scared poo.
There's
Yeah.
nothing wrong with that, Like you said, you don't want to be caught on the roof and want to come all the way down by yourself through that dark corridors.
Yeah, I
But
mean,
yeah.
I thought I was quite brave anyway, going into the men's toilets, which again, they've said there's activity in the men's toilets. I went in there on my own. That's how strong my poo feeling can get, is I'm going to a haunted toilet with no lock on the door and no paper. No toilet paper.
Oh, the power of your bowels, my friend.
Mate, honest to God, that's a bloody night out in itself, my bowels. Jesus. Yeah, thanks for that, Dave. Thanks for coming and checking I was okay.
That's all right. It was all about your safety, mate. It was paramount all the way through the night. That's all
Yeah.
I thought about.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah,
sure.
not the fact that I wanted a bit of a laugh and trying to catch you having a poo and everybody could listen to
It's a good job it's not a visual podcast, this, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, this is where listeners now. Yeah, I definitely say thank God it's audio only. So we came out of there, and then I think we may as well get the second bit of audio that we did, and final bit of audio on the night is where we just had a little chat between ourselves, and our thoughts of what were going to happen before the actual ghost hunt began. So let's have a quick listen to that. Right, Remrod, you've just come out of the toilet. You swear that you weren't having a poo, even though you were in one of the stalls. We've got here, and it's been lumped on you straight away. You weren't expecting it. We've just seen a Ouija board. How do you feel?
Well, when you see a Ouija board before a ghost hunt, you think, is it going to get used to cut my head off? Is it going to get used to summon up a demon? Or is it going to get used by me to throw through a fucking window so I can jump out of the motherfucker if something turns up out of the blue? Everybody's very calm and it's quite jovial at the moment, but we've all seen the beginning of the fucking Amityville horror where everybody was happy moving into a new house. Well, we'll see, won't we? Amityville. Yeah.
Have you got any last words just in case you are possessed and dragged to hell?
No, I can't think of anything. I'm so fucking scared. Thanks, Dave, for bringing me. I hope you're enjoying this, listeners.
Right, so we're all prepared now then. We've had a little chat. We've G'd each other up. We're all ready for the night. I think it'd be a good time then to introduce everybody to who was joining us on the night as well, mate, isn't it?
Yeah, we had some lovely, lovely people there last night.
We did. Well, let's start with the TIFF, the team at the TIFF. We've got JJ and Kirsty there. We were also joined by, of course, there was the medium. There was Ewan. He'd got his team of Gillian and Carly there, and we'll go into individuals and what happened, obviously, as we go along. We've got the Loose Ladies from Radio Deeside, who's Lynn and Jan, and then we've got Karen and Mitch from Blazing Minds, and all the links to these, to the Loose Ladies show and Blazing Minds, blog and everything into Ewan's webpage, into the TIV webpage, will of course be on the show notes on our website, which will give you the details at the end. So make sure to check out the website and get all the notes and find and follow those, because there's some good people we met that night, isn't there?
Yeah, they were a really good, enthusiastic bunch. You know, everybody was kind of... Obviously, you've got the guys who've done it for a long time, Ewan and his team, Gillian and Carly. You know, they've been doing it before. They want to do it. They make you feel very safe and involved. And the Loose Ladies, well, what a lovely, lovely couple of girls. Like, it was kind of nice to see that there was somebody a little bit more scared than me there, so I could come out looking a bit more like a man.
The same thing happened though with you though, wasn't it? Because Lynn went in like really scared, but then she, like yourself, sort of embraced everything and was like the first to go, yeah, I'll do that.
And you just gotta push yourself through it, man. You just gotta, this is what it is being a man, Dave. This is what I've been telling you. You just gotta do things.
So we got there, Ewan and his team, they went upstairs and they were setting everything up while we waited downstairs. And then we went upstairs and, wow, the room at the top was amazing, wasn't it? The way that it was set out, all the equipment, the lighting, the sound. I mean, the atmosphere kicked off straight away.
It was, I didn't expect it. And this is the good thing. I've never done a ghost hunt before. I thought we were just going to go around with a torch and somebody was going to go, somebody standing behind you. But it was, it's a very... professional, well, you know, and it kind of broke me into it, because it shattered every illusion I've had of ghost hunting, this thing. Every sort of thing you've seen on the TV and whatnot, it was very professional, very it was a haunting experience. The lighting, the ambient music, and the calmness in which we were being talked to just brought it down to another level. I expected to be running around like friggin' Scooby-Doo. But yeah, it was really nice, and especially the layout of the equipment as well. Ewan brought everything from the spiritual side of ghost hunting to the high-tech side of ghost hunting, which, you know, us men, we all went straight to the tech and the night vision goggles.
Yeah, night vision goggles, laser thermometers, electromagnetic things.
You know, no expense was spared.
Oh yeah, it was brilliant, all the kit. Like I said, it was good to have that spread of like all the spiritual stuff, and then on the other side all the techie stuff, you know. And you could just dip into whatever you wanted to, and you got free rein to use whatever you wanted as well. You could use anything that was on there.
And this is good, because I suppose a lot of people that are going to go on it, somebody will think, I don't want to use a temperature gauge, I don't believe that'll do anything. I'm going to pick up this Ouija board because I think this is going to work for me. So, and there was no kind of like, don't touch, you know, feel free. If you are comfortable with this item, take that with you, see what it does for you, see if it works. You know, and again, you know, there's something for everybody there straight away. But obviously, there was night vision goggles.
So guess what you went for?
So the first thing I put on my head is night vision goggles. And I'll be honest, I would not want to go around that place at night with night vision goggles on, because I would die.
Because
you've got no depth perception at all.
You were wandering around, like, into dark places with your hands outstretched.
Honest God, how Buffalo Bill fucking found Jodie Foster in that basement was beyond me in Silence of the Lambs, because they are bloody hard work, night vision goggles.
Although you did pretend that you got a gun in your hand and you were
doing
modern-day version of Call of Duty.
Yeah, me and Mitch, I think, kind of looked at him straight away and went, modern warfare. Yeah, but he didn't have a positron thrower, which I was a bit disappointed at, because I thought, should an entity emerge in front of me, the first thing I do is blast it with something. Or not point a heat gun at it.
Yeah, just stand there.
Yeah, but the equipment was excellent.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was really,
so much
really
fun, that.
Yeah. We should also say, I mean, you've touched on it already, mate, as well, about how well run it was and how professional, but also how it wasn't, you know, strict. You got free rein to use the equipment. It was very relaxed. But another way that one of your perceptions was changed was through Ewan and mediums in general. I mean, again, you went with this preconceived idea of what you were expecting from Ewan as a medium, and how different he was in real life when you met him, and the way that he took us around as well.
Yeah, Ewan's class act and a real gent as well. And we both wore tweed, which was a good start.
It was, so we looked at that. It started with like a tweed off between
you both. Tweed off, you know. I kind of won with the Edwardian beard as well, because I thought if there's maybe ghosts there from back in the day, they might relate to me a bit more with my dress. But yeah, Ewan was, again, dispelled every preconception I've got of a medium. Everybody thinks Derek Acora straight away, who gets a bum rap, I think, because, you know, as we were talking to Jonathan as well, you know, he's the real deal, and these mediums are the real deal. But the good thing about what I experienced last night is I didn't think, oh, somebody's going to create a ghost experience. He just led us through it. It was almost like a tour guide through the other side without making it too fantastical. He was very, very calm, and he didn't suggest anything to us. And that was the greatest thing for me. That really changed my perception of what a medium can do.
It is, yeah, because I think obviously there'll be people listening to this that are very sceptical about it all, and I don't believe there's going to be the opposite end that believe in it totally. There's going to be those that are in the middle and, you know, swayed one way or the other. And I think that's the beauty about what the TIV are doing with this, is you go through this experience and you're not told, oh, right, you're going to be scared. You're going to see a ghost. You're going to be scared. There's no sort of jump scares to try and scare you that way. You're just sort of given that this experience all the way through the different rooms that you go through, and we'll touch on that in a minute. And then you just bring out of it what you want to. You're not forced to believe in anything, or you're not forced to do anything like that. If something happens, something happens, mm-hmm. and you're left to your own devices to take from it what you will.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree. It was almost like, I wouldn't say it was like a religious experience, because I'm not religious, but in terms of like a self-discovery thing, learning something as well. Because, I mean, I'm 35 now, and I like going through things that are going to teach me something. You know, that's the best way to learn in life. And to go through something like this, which normally I've gone, nah, I'm not interested, because I'm probably going to be scared. Somebody's going to grab my leg and I'm going to get pissed off. But it totally wasn't that at all, you know. It was really, I don't feel really profound about it. It's a really odd feeling I've come away with, yeah.
That's good though, isn't it?
You know? Yeah, yeah. It was really give me a lot of strength in terms of something normally I wouldn't bother doing. I said when it came out to JJ as well that I felt really stronger from it. Like it had shown me that, you know, there's no need to be afraid. Don't go in there thinking something awful's going to happen. It's a good experience just to build your character, build your strength in a situation like that as well. And I genuinely felt when I came out from there that I felt stronger for it. I wanted to go back in and do it again and do it more serious and go in more dark rooms on my own. It's really weird. I never thought I'd come away with that.
Yeah, I never thought I'd hear you say that, mate. It's
disappointing for you, Dave, because you can't fuck with me now.
You're not as easy to scare anymore, damn it. Well, we started, we went outside and we got into a circle, we held hands, and Ewan did this, oh, what was it, just protection? Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, it's like a ritual where he'll just put this sage. I've seen it in so many movies where it's normally the Mexican housekeeper that suspects something strange is going on will go around the room with this. It's sage, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Gives off a white smoke and it smelt really nice. And he blessed us.
Yeah. And that was good. And we'll briefly skip to the very end, because the end of the night would have been us having something similar as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we were a bit worried when we came home, because you realised
we hadn't had the cleansing, had we?
A fucking dark, bloody country lane. You turned and went, hang on, we haven't had the cleansing ritual. Maybe we've brought something with us. I'm like, just get me home, Dave. Get me out of here now.
Of all the times for that to pop into my mind, it had to be right in the middle of a dark country lane.
I think we should get in touch with you, and maybe you can do a house call.
Yeah, maybe you can do it via Skype.
Just that do it really good. Quick.
Yeah, just come and do this cleansing from us. Because some of the things we're going to talk about in a bit, maybe we could do with the cleansing. We don't know. We might have something with us. So we had that, and we went inside, and we were split up into two teams, which was boys and girls, really, wasn't it? It was a team of boys and a team of girls.
Boys versus girls. It was. The best way.
And we split off into two different areas. The ladies, I think they started, didn't they, up in the theatre and the cellar. And we got some of the other rooms. Because the TIV, I mean, obviously the majority of the people listening to this have never been to the TIFF, let's get it right, there's people worldwide that listen to this. If you're in North Wales, go to it. That's what I'm going to say, if you're in the area anyway. But it's bigger than you think. It's a big building with rooms that I never knew were there. And I've been going to the TIFF since the 80s, and I was going, holy shit, I didn't know it was this big.
Yeah, it was a classic haunted house type venue where you pull back the curtain and there's another world.
Totally another world. And it's brilliant because you're opening a door and you've got no idea what's on the other side.
No, literally. It was fascinating in terms of a history lesson as well, because any ghost hunters listening to this will probably be aware of the TIFF. But to actually go in there and see what the actual building is and what it hides behind, you know, its nightclub, you know, face is something very old, very spooky.
It is.
You know, quite beautiful as well.
Oh, yeah, it's a gorgeous looking building.
Yeah, it was very, very, I don't know, it reminded me of something very like Terry Gilliam-esque, because it's an old theatre.
Yeah.
And the way it's kind of burnt out as well, I don't know, it's a shame really as well, that it's just been left.
It has got that certain sadness to it when you see, because the theatre had this big fire and a guy died up there, and there's still the fire damage that's up there and it's all cordoned off. And it is, like you say, it's got that mixture of it, beauty yet sadness between the two. It's very, you know, it's a gorgeous place. I mean, anybody that's into photography as well, you can have a whale of a time taking photographs in there. You know, whether you see or experience any spirits or not, you know, you're going to get some great photographs, if nothing else.
Yeah, there's some brilliant photos we've had back from there.
Oh, there is. And that's just, you know, that was with our phone as well. We got some great photographs. But we went into some of the back rooms and we sat down. We'd got our equipment with us by now. And this was early on, mate, where you manned up. And there was me, Ewan, yourself, JJ and Mitch in this room. There was the five of us. And it was one of the places where one of the spirits there was supposed to be quite strong. And myself and Mitch were getting this feeling from the door, that a few stairs that were outside the door, and we kept glancing. And Mitch wanted the door shut. It was freaking him out, wasn't it? You know, he wanted the door shut because he was sure there was something there. And we're sat there, and you do things, you know, like you call out to the spirits and you're lucky and you're doing all this kind of stuff. And then Ewan asked if somebody wanted to go and sit on these two stairs outside the door. And I'll hold my hand up, mate. I was quite shocked when you immediately went, yep, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like, I think the vodka had kicked in by that point. And I went, yeah, you know, when in Rome, let's do it. I mean, when he took us into that room initially, and I think that room, and I said after, was the one place I didn't really want to go back down to. Even though it was the first place we went to when we went to spookier places, it was just something about that room, and we were plunged in darkness, and Mitch didn't want that door open, and we shut the door. So then I just thought, yeah, do you know what, I'm gonna go and sit on that step on my own in the pitch black with high frequency audio equipment and see what goes on. And off I went, and I could see your face, Dave, like, fuck, what are you doing?
I know, I was shocked. I was shocked, but really happy that, you know, you were just embracing it and going into it. But, you know, kind of disappointed because I wanted the evening just to at least try and scare you once. But as soon as you did that, I knew, well, that's out the window. You've got your man face on this evening.
It was, you know, I sat there on that step and the good thing again about Ewan is he didn't tell me, oh, there's going to be a ghost there.
Oh, no.
He didn't give you any sort of suggestion to put a fear in your head. So apparently where I was sat is where a man has appeared on those stairs. So I've sat with my back to the blackness waiting, you know, with no lights or anything and just my high frequency audio equipment, which you could hear a mouse fart in Los Angeles with. It was so good, this equipment.
Oh, it's really good.
Ah, brilliant. But, you know, I had no feelings of fear. I did have a slight cold creeping feeling, but that maybe is just my imagination because my back is to the haunted area.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it was I felt quite peaceful every time I did something. And it just built for me as the night went on, really.
It was a good point you just made as well about you and how he doesn't trying to put any suggestive thoughts to you. He doesn't say, oh, there's a spirit behind you, or there's, you know, there's a man talking to you now, or go over there because it's really cold. He just, again, he lets you experience it how you experience it. Whatever happens to you it happens to you, and it's not through the power of suggestion through him. He was just, we described him, didn't we, as just like a really great, friendly tour guide who told us the history of it. He gave us access to the equipment to, you know, go ghost hunting, but at no point did he force it down your throat or try to lead you in any certain direction.
No, I mean, yeah, I will honestly say now, if you're going to go on one of these ghost tours, if you're with Ewan, just be prepared for a quite enlightening experience about ghost hunting, because I think I would have been more annoyed had we been with somebody that went, can you feel that hand on your shoulder, Ramrod? And I'd have gone, no, now I fucking can, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, nothing like that happened, but that's why it gave me more strength to go forward and do more.
Yeah. And this is when one of the first creepy things happens, because you're sat outside. Mm. So that leaves me, you and JJ and Mitch sat inside. We sat there for a few minutes and, you know, we're asking you, can you hear anything with the audio equipment that you've got? And we're listening. And then all of a sudden, because the door's shut again, and of course the door doesn't shut fully too, and then through the crack of the door, you know, across the edges of the where the door is, this bright light just flashed really quickly. The four of us inside saw it, clear as day. So I get up and open the door, thinking that you're there sat on your phone. You know, that's what's caused this bright flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I open the door and you're just sat there very quiet. You've got your headphones on, you've got the microphone, and you're just listening and listening. And you sort of look up at me with this incredulous look. Yes. And I'm looking at you, surprised, because I'm expecting to see you with your phone. And I said, have you just turned your phone on? And you said, no.
Nope. Said,
you know, I'm sat here with this recording equipment. And because you hadn't even got a torch or anything. I was the one between both of us that got a little torch. And I said, well, we've just seen this real, all four of us have seen this really bright flash of light come through the little crack around the edges of the door. And we expected to see you with your phone. Yeah, you're there with that. No,
nothing.
You didn't see anything from your side of it, and it was like, okay, all right then. So, how do we explain that? That was the first sort of little wriggle of the evening, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did. Like it did spook everybody out. I mean, I admit, if I'd have opened my eyes, maybe I'd have seen something. But yeah, you know that. It started quite early on, didn't it?
It did, yeah. And there was quite a few experiences, and we're going to touch on them, you know, through the course of this show. But we went on to the stage, which, A, was great just to be on stage on the TIFF, because the amount of times we've seen gigs there. And we said, oh, you know, think of the bands that we've seen, the groups that have stood in the place where we're stood now.
Exactly.
That in itself was a bit of a thrill.
It was awesome.
It was
I did actually, when we crept out on the stage, I said, what's up, Tim? Hopefully it didn't disturb any ghosts doing that.
Like. Yeah. But we split off again, the five of us. We went into a different part of the stage each. Do you want to talk about the equipment then that Ewan brought out with the sounds and everything, if you want to tell the listeners about what went on with that?
Well, I mean, again, Ewan being the astute professional that he is, gave us all a little area of the stage to stand in, and there were being five of us. I thought, is he creating a pentagram with us here or something? So I stood behind the big black stage curtain at the rear of the stage, and then JJ, Mitch, Dave stood off to other points, and I couldn't see him, but I presume he was in the middle, and he's got what's called, I think was a Frank's machine. Now, I didn't know what this was, but anybody that's ever seen Silent Hill or played the video game or seen PT on the PlayStation 4 will know how they use radio waves to detect the other side. And it's like white noise or something, but the Frank's machine will hammer through radio frequencies like at a split second and just pick up tiny, tiny flickers of each radio station. So if something is willing to communicate through radio waves, which has been, you know, practiced many, many times in paranormal investigating, it will pick it up on this Frank's machine. But when you're standing there in a pitch black and he turns it on, it makes this unholy noise, which you can't really describe. And any, you know, feelings of calmness I had at that point quickly vanished because it was a horrific noise this thing made, and it was just, you know, static and words and bits of songs just going really quickly, and it was like you were stuck in some like horrible nightmare waiting for something to go Ramrod Dave through it. And that was very uncomfortable. That the Franks machine is something I would recommend you take with you should you go ghost hunting, because it scared the shit out of me.
It was really good using that. I mean, nothing came through it on the evening, but it does build up a good atmosphere anyway. It's a great piece of kit, and it was on the stage as well, where you had another bit of an experience as well, weren't you? You were standing still, and then you weren't standing still.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, I'm not going to blame the vodka for this one because I certainly hadn't drank that much, but I kind of put my back as hard up against the counter that's behind the stage as I could, and I kind of leant into it, kept my arms crossed, and turned my audio equipment on. And it was almost like, you know, when somebody comes behind you and like puts their knee in the back of your knee, and then your leg goes weak.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a bit like that, but I kind of like, it felt like I'd stepped on a stone, like a big heavy brick was in front of me, and I'd stepped and just kind of wobbled my leg to one side. And that was so weird because I was standing perfectly still like a rock. And somebody else said that they'd had a feeling in their knee or the back of their knee. I'm sure they had.
There was a couple of people said about the knees, wasn't there?
But it didn't freak me out, but it was certainly like, whoa, hang on, my knee's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's my age.
Yeah, get used to it, mate. There was quite a few times where between everybody, I mean, there's the classic temperature drop, and we experienced it. And we've got the digital temperature recorders as well, so we could see it on screen. But you didn't need them because there were some times. I mean, going back to where you were sat outside the room, mate, that first time, and you were sat outside by yourself. Then I came out, and there was another little room by the side of it, and I sat in that one by myself, and I could see you. You were in like my line of vision. And then I remember you sat there, and all of a sudden you said, just your hands went freezing cold, didn't they? In front of you, this space in front of you just seemed to be at this block of ice.
They talk so much about temperature drops, don't they, when a spirit is near you. But my hands, I mean, it's quite a cold building anyway, but yeah, it was almost like somebody poured cold water over my hands. Very odd little feeling.
Oh yeah.
You had it on your knees, didn't you, up in the bass room?
Yeah, a few times while we were on the stage as well, and I was behind the, I was like stage left behind one of the black curtains, and there's a little sort of couch there, so I was sat on that. And then like my knees, three or four times during the evening, it was just my knees went cold. There seemed to be a lot of knee action going on during that night. Stuff to do with people's knees. But yeah, experienced it quite a few times. And we went from the stage, and we went into these ladies' toilets. And so it was a big row of mirrors with the sinks and everything in front of them, obviously. And then there was also a big couch in there, and then the row of the toilets. So we all went in there, and we all went into a toilet cubicle each, and we turned the lights off and saw what had happened. But it was quite comfortable. It wasn't cold. There was. It just seemed fine in the cubicles, didn't it? And we're waiting for a few minutes, and nothing's really happening. So I said, "All right, I'm going to sit on the arm of the couch outside." Well, you know, it's still within the toilet area, but outside of the cubicles. Well, I sat on the arm of the couch, and immediately it was the most oppressive atmosphere out there. And I don't know, you know, you get the feeling, everybody gets it, as though somebody's watching you. It was like that. It was really totally different atmosphere to inside the cubicle, where you'd think, if anywhere, trapped in a little cubicle would be, you'd feel a bit more scared, wouldn't you, than
Yeah.
outside on the couch?
You kind of beckoned me out of my cubicle and like, come here and feel this sort of like atmosphere that you're feeling. I mean, I was quite happy and warm in my little cubicle, albeit it was the one that didn't have a toilet in it, which was a bad choice by me, and the lock didn't work on the door. But yeah, I came out and sat on the couch with you, and it's a strange thing, because if that place had been bathed in light like it probably normally is, it's just like a nice comfortable couch in there, and it's a woman's toilet, you know, big sinks. But the feeling coming out of it and looking down the cubicle doors was, yeah, very different. And there was a different feeling, and it was so warm in the cubicle and then freezing cold.
Yeah.
As soon as you step outside the door. And there's no difference, really. I mean, because they're not, like, encased. There's no roof on the cubicles or anything. So how the feelings were changing was very strange in there. That was a very odd room, that women's toilet.
That, for me, was my sort of scariest room. And we'll go into another reason why in just a second. But you said, didn't you, if there was any room that you didn't want to visit, it was that first one. Well, I wouldn't. Well, I'm saying I wouldn't go back there. I'd love to go back there. But if I had to pick the scariest, weirdest, most oppressive atmosphere room, it'd definitely be those ladies' toilets for me. Easily, yeah. There was something spooky about it. And so this is the point where Ewan said if anybody wanted to try any mirror scribing, wasn't it? Yeah, now, wow. Okay, this is something that was, it sticks with me even as we're talking about it now. I'm getting goosebumps, mate. I'm sat here getting goosebumps. I really am. So what happens is Ewan asks for somebody to stand in front of a mirror, and you just get comfortable and you put your hands on the counter in front and just relax. And you look at yourself in the mirror. And Ewan's holding the light, and everybody else got behind me so they could see my reflection in the mirror. And then what happens is the spirits use your reflection to show themselves, don't they? Is how it's supposed to work. And I'm sure there's people listening to this that are just scoffing and poo-pooing. You know, rightly so, you know. Why would you believe in this otherwise? I mean, if somebody had told me this just like 24 hours ago, I may have well have thought the same until my experience of last night.
I mean, these sceptical people are the same people that won't look in the mirror and say Candyman five times. I'll put money on that. And they won't say Bloody Mary three times even. So, yeah, they can say what they want. But when you're standing in there and we all stared into that mirror, I mean, we're five grown men. You know, we've all been through experiences in our life, but we looked into that mirror with Dave's face, Dave's haggard, old, wiry face. And Dave slowly turned into a rather beautiful young woman in front of our eyes.
This is the thing, right? So, Ewan's calling, you know, he said, if any spirits want to show themselves through the reflection. I'm just looking in the mirror. And then, I mean, JJ's on my right shoulder behind me, you're on my left shoulder behind me. And then I went, whoa, at exactly the millisecond that JJ did as well. Yeah. And he said, you just changed into a woman.
So weird, man, when it happened.
And I said, I know. And then we both described the woman perfectly with the hair, the features, everything. So that was, you know, a bit of a shock, to say the very least. So I look into the mirror again, and then it was like a scene from a horror film, mate. And again, people described exactly the same things happening. I think that during the night, there must have been some sort of connection between me and JJ, because we were, I don't know if you get sort of tuned into people, I don't know what happens, but we were seeing things, we were describing stuff to minute detail of what we were seeing at the same time and everything. But after this sort of woman's face appeared, I'm looking back in the mirror, and then there was like my face went to this really old man, to then to this woman, to then to somebody else, and there was like this loads of faces, as though there was like a shitload of spirits all trying to get in at the same time and pushing the other ones out of the way. My face was just like morphing from one face to another face, and I can see them all now. I can see all the features of each one now, which is weird. I mean, you said you saw, didn't you? That's that like morphing effect happen in front of you.
Yeah, again, you know, Ewan held that light still. There was no suggestion, and we went into this blind as to the history of the ghosts there. I mean, I had no idea, and you've got no idea what people expect to see there.
No.
But when we described your face kind of looking like it dropped and went oval and pointy, and it looked like somebody put a load of foundation all over your face, and your face looked smoothed and elongated. And then when you saw the comb over as well, because you've got your hair is not a comb over, quite clearly.
Yeah.
And nobody was looking at me at that point, because I think I was down some other end, you know, with my sound equipment. But even JJ and Ewan both said, as soon as you describe that, that's the man that's been seen here.
Well, this was the main one, wasn't it? This was the one that sort of threw me back a bit from the counter. Because, I mean, before we get into that, let's just play devil's advocate for a second here. Because we said Ewan was there and he was holding the light.
Yeah.
So to play devil's advocate, you could say, okay, so Ewan was moving the light slightly, so that would change the shadows on my face because that was the only light source in the room. Now, okay, so you could say that. Mm-hmm. How would that explain that grown men are seeing the exact same thing to hair length and colour and specific details of the features and at the exact millisecond, especially when this man with the comb over appeared? And it was as though, it was a weird feeling, mate. It was from halfway down the back of my head to halfway down my back. It was instant, intense pins and needles. My whole body felt as though, I can only describe it as though it's like I was holding on to sort of electrical wires and plugged in. But instead of getting an electric shock, I was just like being charged up with some sort of energy. My whole body felt like so energized. Now, this guy's face appeared this first time, and it did. It physically, it gave me that smack on the back with the pins and needles. It physically pushed me away from the counter. I couldn't help it. And again, I think it like, oh, shit. I swore. Again, the same time JJ did, this guy's face, and it's imprinted on me now. It was it, with his dark hair and this comb over, his deep set eyes, he's got this prominent brow, the expression on his face. He looked angry, mate. He looked pissed off. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody gives you that 1,000-yard stare, but they're right in front of your face. You know, it was that. And again, it was like the same. We saw it at the same time. I explained to JJ, and we were back in two. So it wasn't a case of me going, and he'd done this, and he got that, and JJ was going, yes, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
We were going back in two and checking on each other and saying, well, what was the eyes like? You know, what? How was his hair cut? And we were questioning each other. It was exactly the same thing. And I went back to it. And then this guy appeared again. And my face just changed. And again, there's going to be people listening. And they're still not going to believe in poo-poo. But hand on heart, this is what I saw. There's no explanation. You can't explain it away by just using, okay, Ewan was moving a light. There's no way. No. I know what I saw. And this
we were there. I mean, we were there. And I've never seen anything quite like that. But it wasn't. I mean, we've got to clarify here. This wasn't Michael Jackson's black and white video where you turned into a woman.
No.
I mean, it was a suggestion of features slowly and then clearly altering. Split second. And then something else was coming across, but it was definitely something odd was happening in the reflection. So whatever they were saying was like using it as like a, I can't think of the word, when something comes through you, passes through your conduit. That's the word I think I'm looking for. But for a brief second, there were fighting forces, opposing forces, and I think it was the man was the strongest one.
Definitely, by far, for him to appear twice, and it was you'd see him, you know, he like as though he pushed everybody else out of the way. I mean, you could argue the fact that the reason, because this spirit as well, he was, the guy was known, wasn't he? He doesn't like women. So you could argue, I mean, we, you know, this is all stuff we learned after the fact. You could argue that, okay, so all these women, these female spirits came, and why there was the blur of faces at the start, because the spirits knew in advance that this guy would be on his way, and once he got there, they've got no chance of showing themselves.
Yeah.
And that's why that happened. And for him to appear twice like that, and so clear both times. So again, if you could see my arms, mate, the hairs on my arms are stood on end. And I've got massive goosebumps because it was so vivid both times. Yet never experienced anything like that in my entire life. Yeah. Never, ever.
You got something very special there. I think I think people, you know, interested in paranormal happenings and that will say you're very lucky.
Yeah, maybe so.
You're very lucky, you know, because obviously the reason why we've gone is, you know, it'd be great to experience something. You know, it's rare, you know, and paranormal investigators will admit it. It is very rare that anything like that would happen, but you were quite a lucky person, I'd say, last night, yeah.
And that's the thing, to go to these, I think we said at the start, didn't we? Don't go expecting to see something or hear something or experience something. But even, you know, if you do, all well and good. Even if you don't, it's such a great evening. It's such a great experience as a whole. You know, you don't need to see or hear anything. It's just a damn good evening anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be scared, go to the fair, get on the ghost train. Some gypsy in a black cloak will grab you by the neck and you'll go, boo. And then you'll go, I'm scared.
Yeah.
But this isn't what this is. And I, well, until we kind of went, well, we moved on then, didn't we? And we took your experience of the changing faces, and then we've obviously realised that there's a male ghost following us around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where did we go? So we left the, we were in the women's toilets then, and I can't even remember. I'm scared now. I don't want to go back into this.
I think then we went back upstairs. And we met.
We went back to base then.
We went to the base room, and we met the ladies as well. Now, Kirsty from the TIV, JJ told us nothing scares Kirsty. She's very often at the TIV by herself. She has to go upstairs into the old theatre and turn aircon off and turn lights off, and she's in all dark rooms by herself. Doesn't fare. She's seen things, she's heard things, but she's got no fear of whatever's there. She came in, she was scared to death. She had run. Something had made her run away, right? And JJ was just incredulous. He said, she never runs. She never runs away from anything. Now, apparently, it was in the theatre bit at the top, wasn't it? And something had gone, shh, behind her. But it wasn't just that. It kept doing it. And she started moving, and it was right behind her doing it. So she started running away. It was still right behind her going, shh.
Oh, I mean, the girl said they were sitting, I think, together, and she literally clambered over people to get away. It must have scared the absolute shit out of her. And, I mean, I've only met her twice, and she does come across as a sort of girl that would not scare.
Yeah.
You know, not a girly girl in that sense. It's like, you're not going to scare this girl. But she was not happy when she came into the room.
She wasn't, was she?
And then I got scared because this girl works there.
It was good as well because, of course, everybody come back. And when we got there, there was Lynn from the Loose Ladies. She was really scared when she got there.
Yeah.
But she, by this point, had, was the first to say, yeah, I'll do that and I'll do that. And she was well into it then, wasn't she? She'd gone from when we first met her at the beginning of the night going, I don't know if I want to do this, to just, like yourself, just embracing everything and having a whale of a time with it.
Yeah, good for her. I mean, I remember when we were sitting in the base room and Ewan was giving us the little prep talk before we went around. You know, I kept on looking over and she kept on catching my eye and pulling a little face. And I was like, oh, God. But I thought we were going to be like, you know, Scooby-Doo running around the place, but... yeah, it was quite nice to think that she's also, you know, got some sort of strength from it as well, and it didn't, you know, put her off, and it made her want to get involved a lot more.
Yeah. And it was at this point as well where we thought we were in a time warp, because it was, what was it, about 10 to 10 by then?
Yeah, man, that was so weird. We looked at our watches for the first time, and literally hours had passed, and there's no way we'd gone through hours of sitting around in the dark, because you would have known. Hours, you would have gone, God, am I still here? But we were in some sort of void then. Time had just gone, poof, gone.
It had gone really quick, hadn't it?
Very strange.
So we went up then. We sort of swapped where the ladies went earlier. We swapped all the different places, and we were taken up to the theatre, which I'd seen a few pictures of before, but of course I'd never been to. What a beautiful place it is up in the theatre. Even though that was the place that got burnt, it got all the fire damage still. It's one of those, you've got to experience it to really, haven't you, to get the full atmosphere of the place.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I like history. I go castle hunting on the weekend, and I love going around looking old ruins and stuff. But this place, I mean, if they just opened it up more for, well, as they are doing with the ghost hunts, there's a wonderful old theatre to have a look at, albeit it's burnt out, and that's the tragedy of it, is that, you know, it was once obviously a well-loved and, you know, beautiful building, but now it's just like a shell of what it could be. Going up into those stairs, though, and as soon as we went up then, because we lost Ewan at this point, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
And it kind of turned into the Forgo Mad Ghost Hunting, because it was almost like the teacher had left the room, and it was just left for me, Dave, Mitch and JJ JJR leader, because obviously he's the most familiar with the building. And it was like, woohoo, off we go ghost hunting. We haven't got the medium with us, so shit.
But there was, again, we were sat there. You and Mitch went down the steps in the theatre part and was looking at all the false ceiling that's in there. And myself and JJ were up at the other end. We're at the top at the opposite corner, and we were sat down and we were listening. And again, one of these things happened. We both turned at the same time because I heard, and JJ heard the same time. Again, we heard this, shh. Because, you know, we're calling out, you know, if there's any spirits there, do you want to show yourself? Do you make a noise? Or, you know, you do all the stuff that you do. And then we both heard it, went, shh. And we both turned and looked, and JJ looked at me and he went, you heard that right? And I, yeah. And we said, yeah, it was a shush sound. And he said, yeah. So he said, right, he said, point. He said, let's point to where we heard it. Let's see if we point to the exact same place. We pointed to the exact same place. It'd come from there, this one spot. Something, someone had gone, shh, to us in the same. And you just could not explain. I mean, how can you explain that? And we did. We should mention this, mate. Again, you know, just to clarify, you know, we took a total. We looked at it right through the middle, didn't we? We went in with no expectations one way or the other. We didn't go in as, well, we're total believers and everything that happens real. We didn't go in super skeptical about everything. We went in with a clear mind because we did one of the first things that happened. Yourself and Mitch walked into the base room, and they've got the metal bars across. How would you explain it?
It's like there's like a seating area, and then there's like a bit of a shelved area where you'd like put stools and have like a little bar area where you'd rest your drinks. But it's got like a little metal railing across the top. Now I've never met Mitch before, and we were just walking into the room together, just idly chit-chatting, and we both heard like something. It was almost like a piece of metal tapping really, really quickly on this little metal. It was like just like a metal bar going across it. But I went across. We both heard it. Literally said, "Did you hear that? Yeah. Did you hear that? Yeah." You know, I didn't know Mitch from Adam, and we both heard the same thing. And we went over, and there was nothing rattling. And we couldn't, as fast as I tapped with my hand and my phone on the metal on metal, I couldn't recreate the speed of the tapping. But we both heard it at the same time. When we went back into the bass room, we heard it again. It was just little things like that, just the smallest noises, the shushes, the tapping. There's something going on there.
There was, and then we came, when we come out of the theatre, I mean, the projection room.
Harry, the projectionist.
I mean, you went in there by yourself first again, didn't you?
I mean, we were taken up there, and JJ explained that, you know, there was this tragic fire there, and somebody lost their life. It's dubious about how the fire was started and the reasons for it, and there's lots of theories. So obviously there's a feeling of maybe something, you know, awful happened there. And certainly something did, somebody lost their life. So you're in an area where it's filmed with negative energy because something's bad's happened. So we're calling out to Harry, who is the projectionist, as we were told. And we're encouraging him at this point. You know, we've been doing this for a few hours and we've got our confidence up. So we're calling out and we're calling out. But bear in mind, we're in this burnt out theatre with, you know, a vast, like, open black space in front of us. And we're sitting on cold stone steps. And I said, Joe, I'm just going to go and sit in the projection room where the fire started on my own. I couldn't believe I was doing it, to be honest. So I went up into Harry's room, as it was called, where he did the projection in. And I went in there and I spoke out. I asked if anybody was there, and then sat in his chair on my own. I didn't experience anything in there, but I thought, I mean, this, like I say, this is the great experience I had there. Was that by this point, I felt confident enough to go into a room where a man was, you know, he died in a fire, and he's reported to haunt.
If you'd have told me that you'd have done that, you know, yesterday afternoon, I'd have said
no way in hell. But I'll add something to that point. The safety of having you guys there was paramount, because had I have gone on my own, different experience, I felt like if something was to happen, if I heard something, I could then call on one of you to investigate it, to come to my aid. You would not go in these places on your own. I don't care how skeptical you are, how hard you are. You would not go there on your own because there is a definite feeling in these rooms, to the point where I walked out of the projection room and across the balcony, which is hard flooring, and I put my foot down and I heard wood bend, like a floorboard bend under my foot, and I stepped back off it and said, "Oh, guys, be careful here. There's a wonky floorboard." Everybody came up and jumped up and down on that spot, and there was nothing.
It was hard floor, mate. Yeah, it was hard floor.
But my foot bent into the floor, and it heard like bending wood, and it put me back because it's, you know, it's an old burnt building. It's, you know, safety and things like that. You know, this isn't open to the public apart from when you go on the ghost hunt, so it's not somewhere you can go in the nightclub normally. But yeah, this is a hard floor. There was nothing bendy. There was no wood there.
Nah, that's weird, mate. That was very weird.
Yeah, there was. By this point, I think we'd all kind of gently experienced something, and then it was. It came round to Mitch's turn, I think, then, didn't it?
It did at the end of the evening.
Yeah.
Where we ended up in the cellar, which all the old beer kegs used to be, and we ended up in this cellar, which you would expect. I mean, we went in, you'd think this would be the coldest room of them all, and it wasn't really, was it? I mean, although massive temperature fluctuations when we're in there.
Yeah,
but JJ did this pendulum with Mitch, which means that Mitch stood in the middle, he relaxed, he closed his eyes. There was me in front of him, you were behind him, mate, weren't you? And then what Mitch did was just got him to relax, was asking him questions, and tried to use him as, you know, this conduit, this vessel for the spirit. But what he had to ascertain first was you'd sway one way for yes, and you'd sway one way for no. So you ask questions to figure that way one out first, don't you? You know, once you've got that, and then you can start asking the questions. Now, again, devil's advocate, you could say, well, Mitch could maybe be a bit persuaded to involuntarily lean one way or the other. But when it came to Jade, when we'd finished it and it came to JJ, like, sort of bringing him out of it, Mitch was, he was out of it, mate, wasn't he? You know, he didn't know where he was or what he was doing or anything.
No, I mean, like I say, Mitch didn't strike me as the sort of guy that's going to create something. You know, very down-to-earth guy. You know, he's a DJ. You know, he's a fun-loving guy. He was in there for an experience. But when he stood between me and you, and JJ was, again, speaking to this male ghost that apparently has been experienced a few times in this cellar, and has an aversion to women, maybe it was suggested that he likes men in whatever way that, whatever that means, he likes men. God knows, you know, you've got bloody Quentin Crisp running around your frigging basement. But he stood between us and he was calm and shut his eyes, and JJ was calling out, "Are you there? Do you want us here?" And it was at this point where he was saying, "Can you give me lean forward or backward for yes or no?" And, you know, Mitch's body really, there was a spooky noise then. I just got a spooky noise in my headphones. Did you get that?
No, I didn't get it.
Oh my God, I just had the most horrible noise in my headphones, Dave. I'm not making that up.
Get away.
I'm not making that up. It was like somebody playing a piano, like a chord on a piano.
Oh, just as you mentioned.
Did you hear anything?
No, not a thing at this end, mate, no. It'll be interesting to listen to the recording to see if it picks it up.
It sounded like a piano chord.
Oh.
Sorry, mate, that's just thrown me then a bit. That is. Broad daylight sitting here, Jesus Christ. We're talking about this ghost, aren't we?
Yeah, we're talking about
this man.
Mitch and, in the pendulum.
It's fucking thrown me, that is. It's had a piano chord in my headphones. He started leaning back, like I had to catch him. I had to put my hands on him to stop him falling back. And then he started proceeding with the questions. Do you like women? And then he'd lean forward for no. And then he'd say, "Do you like men?" Lean back for yes. And "Do you want us here?" Lean forward for no. And he was really, I mean, you saw it, man.
Yeah, we had to.
He was moving.
Yeah, we had to. The reason why we were in front and behind him, because there was every possibility that he could have leaned so far, he'd just tumbled over, wouldn't he?
Yeah. He was definitely moving, but as soon as he was brought out of it by JJ, said he, and he had to call his name twice, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't just snap out of it. He was gone.
Oh yeah, and you could tell he wasn't putting it on. You know, through the course of the evening, you know, we got to know everybody, and everybody was just fantastic. Every single person was brilliant. We had a great time with them, and you could tell with Mitch, he wouldn't be the person that would put it on. You know, he was shocked himself with it. What was going on?
Yeah, it was. My fucking head's gone totally. I can't believe what just happened. It was.
Hold a mirror up in front of you, quick.
Oh, honest to God, no. Come and burn some bloody sage in here, will you? Come and help me, man. That's very spooky.
This is what happens when you don't have that cleansing afterwards, mate. This is going to be residual for months
maybe.
Now.
Maybe this is what's happened.
Yeah.
But we snapped Mitch out of it, and but it was at one point we heard the tapping on the door as well. It was when he asked the spirit, "Do you want us to leave?" And we were way away from the door, and there was nobody else around us. And
exactly.
Tapping on the door.
Yeah, because I thought we were getting to the point now. It's getting towards the end of the evening, and the TIV was going to open up for club night. It opens up at 11. So the staff would start coming in about 10:30, and it was getting on for that sort of time. And I thought, oh, the staff have come in and they're starting work, you know, because this tapping on the door was so clear. And then me and you, mate, we went to it, and there was nobody. The staff hadn't come in yet. There was nobody around at all.
Oh, nothing was going on there, but there was a distinct noise outside that door. I mean, I went out then. I mean, my blood was up there, and I was like, I'm going to go and have a look. Because I heard the noise, and I took some photos. I used the temperature counter. But again, yeah, just a cold, desolate, open bar area with nothing there.
Of which by now you were getting glad that the bar would open in about 30 minutes. All right, so listeners, you may have just heard like an edit sound there. I'll probably put, you know, the TikTok in. If you're a regular listener, you'll know one of the great things about doing this show is I just don't edit it. They're so easy to do. Now, we had to put an edit in because after talking about the piano sound that you had, Ramrod, and talking about spooky shit, do you want to say what just happened to you and why we've had to do an edit?
I can only apologise to the listeners then about cutting off in full flow because... I heard a very odd noise to the right-hand side of me, which kind of threw me off a bit. And then the computer just died. And it's plugged in, and it's fully on, and it's working. But it just blinked off right in front of me and just cut me dead. Not physically, thankfully, but...
This is, of course, it just reminded me as well, something that was happening last night was how batteries on equipment... and on phones were just like being drained like crazy. And JJ said with his mobile how it locks up on that certain screen and that weird sort of half screen thing appears, and it only ever happens when he's at the TIV.
We had it with the night vision goggles. They were fully charged. We put them on, switched them on, dropped dead.
Yeah, the audio recorder that I took, it just like went. I mean, we did those two little clips that you heard at the start of this, and then didn't do anything else, and it was off. And the battery's good. You know, I know I've used them so often. The battery's good for so long. Mm. And then at one point, I thought, oh, okay, yeah, let's just record a little bit here. Put it on, and the battery was almost dead. Something was going on there, draining power from them.
It was eating up the power last night. I mean, I think, like, all said and done, like, whatever was wrapping its knuckles on the door or whatever was... These things, I think, need energy to perpetuate. So whatever it was taking from the electrical equipment, it was using really well last night.
Yeah.
And it's now using the fucking computer I'm using. So if it's sitting on my shoulder or something now, can it go away, please? Because I've got like a weekend to have now.
Without having to look over your shoulder all the time.
This is why I drink. This is why I drink.
Oh. Well, we should say then, I mean, obviously it ended, we went back to the bass room. Everybody got together, we had a good chat, we went downstairs. By now the club night had happened as well, you know, we went to the bar and got a beer and had a good natter to everyone, and everyone to a person had such a great time. And again, I just want to reiterate that people listening to this, you know, if those that are within the North Wales area and want to go on this, again, visit our website. All the links will be on there to everybody and everything to do with the Tivoli hauntings. But whether you believe in it or not, if you just want to have a good night and a great experience, just go in and do it, because it's really good. I mean, it's better instead of going out and go to the pub and get a few pints or, you know, watch a movie, go and do this instead. Do something different, have a different experience, and no matter what your beliefs are, one way or the other, I think from our experience, mate, you can just guarantee it's money well spent. You're going to have a good time.
Certainly. Certainly, highly recommended. And from somebody that would normally run away very quickly from something like this, it's given me a real, like, good strength of character towards things like this, and a new outlook on mediums and ghost hunting. I mean, it's very, very, very highly recommended from me. And I would go back there at 3 a.m. when they're supposed to be most active, these spirits, but I think this place is just running riot with activity. And I would urge anybody to go there. I'd go back there tonight. I really would. I thought it was fantastic. And Ewan was a brilliant, he was a brilliant leader through it all, you know, and he made it very accessible.
Yes, he did, definitely.
Very accessible.
Well, what more can you say? I mean, come on, mate. I think that's... we've told us this experiences we have that will stick with us forever. And yeah, just please visit the website, and if you're interested in the area, go to it. I mean, if you're listening to this and you've had any sort of similar experiences, send us an email, let us know about it. Or if you're the opposite and you think what we've just said is complete and utter bollocks and you don't agree, send us an email and tell us that too. We'd love to hear one way or the other any stories about this, I'm sure, wouldn't we, mate?
Get in touch. And I defy anybody, like I said before, that's sceptical to go and sit in that projection room on their own and call out to dead burnt Harry and see if he comes creeping around.
Yeah.
Because you'll definitely have a different outlook on it then. But yeah, by all means, get in touch. We're all over social networking and we're open to all this now.
We are.
And we're going to get suits made, I think, Ghostbuster suits, like 60 minutes with suits.
Yeah, and then go back and do some serious ghost hunting.
Let's do it.
Right, so if you don't know by now, any new listeners, if you want to find and follow us online, if you go to our website, which is 60minuteswith.co.uk, that's with a numerical 60. You can also, via the website, there's a contact us form on there, or you can contact us direct, which is contact@60minuteswith.co.uk. We're on Facebook, which is facebook.com/60minuteswith. All this is with a numerical 60 again. And on Twitter, @60minuteswith. Once again, I want to just reiterate everybody we talked about, Karen and Mitch from Blazing Minds, Lynn and Jan from Loose Ladies, you and Gillian and Carly, JJ and Kirsty, Tivoli Hauntings. All the links for them will be on the show notes on our website too. So, mate, what's the weekend going to be for you now, apart from looking behind you and trying not to look into a mirror too quick?
Jesus, sweat, mate. I think I'm going to go and drink the weekend away now in the sunshine and certainly not watch The Exorcist.
Yeah, maybe best to avoid horror films this weekend.
Yeah, I'll just add in to what you said there and thank the guys again for a really good night. It was great to meet some, and it's a good... bonding experience, because it's nice to meet new people.
It is.
And people of similar minds. You know, I've met people there that I genuinely thought were good folk. You know, you couldn't have a bad time last night. The Loose Ladies were an absolute pleasure. Ewan, Gillian, Carly, lovely. Mitch was a legend. Karen, fantastic. And I just wish I'd have seen Kirsty run away terrified. Gutted. And thanks to JJ as well. You're an absolute gent.
It was a
fantastic night.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, I'm going to go and drink probably quite heavily on weekend. Now, I've got to do my usual now. It's a Saturday, so I'm going to go and sit in a tattoo parlour for 3 hours watching someone getting tattooed. But, you know.
Back to normality, mate.
Just normal life, yeah.
Yeah.
Drinking and tattoos, rock and roll.
Brilliant. Right, okay, let's finish this one up. And whoever you are, wherever you are, thank you so much for listening. Keep your subscriptions active. We've got lots more shows planned for you.
Over and out.